The Feast of the Epiphany, as we know it today, has an interesting start historically to it. Originally in the Eastern Church, so the church from Jerusalem up to Constantinople, it celebrated the feast with four main factors, and they were firstly, it celebrated the birth of Christ, and then his baptism in the Jordan River, the emphasis that we hear today, the arrival of the Magi, or the wise men, and then fourth element that the Eastern Church celebrated on this feast was actually the wedding feast at Cana. So it was from the birth of Christ to his first miracle. They were the things that the Eastern Church celebrated. The Western Church, therefore the church in Rome, by about 370s, was celebrating the same feast, but it had by this stage moved the emphasis onto, they had sorted out a date on which they believed Christmas would be celebrated, which was the 25th of December as we know it. And so they put the emphasis in Rome, or the Western Church, really on the birth of Christ and the fact that Christ was revealed to and for everybody, for all of mankind. And therefore the emphasis on the Western Church really was that the wise men represented all of the non-Jewish world, that Jesus didn't come for one specific people, he came for the entire world. So the two came together, but they still celebrated, the East and the West came together, but they still celebrated a bit of a different emphasis, all of which is drawn from Matthew's gospel. In the Eastern world today, the Eastern Church today, this feast, the Feast of the Epiphany, is the day when most baptisms take place. They still emphasise the baptism of Jesus on this day. So they hold back until the Epiphany for baptisms a lot of the time. In the Western Church, in our church, we tend more to concentrate on the revelation of Christ being the light of the world. And so the emphasis has really been on the star, I would think. And most of the scholars look at the events as recorded by Matthew and would all agree that this is what we call in a technical language a midrash. Now I'm not going to give you a lecture, certainly not, but a midrash in scriptural terms is taking something from the Old Testament, it's a Jewish word, a Hebrew word of course, taking something from the Old Testament and then building a story around it to emphasise a particular point. That's what a midrash is. So it's a bit like you've got the elements of a fire and you're stoking it and making it bigger, if you like. And the elements of this midrash come from the Old Testament, from the Psalms and from the Book of Numbers, really, which emphasises the historical lineage of Jesus, son of David, you often hear the term, and Matthew does this, and also the fact that Jesus came for the entire world. And the best way to do that, Matthew thought, was by pulling those elements out of the Old Testament and building his story with those elements into the version that you get today. And consequently, we end up with scenes like at the foot of our altar here. We look at this and we see that there are three kings there. The kings don't even get mentioned in Matthew's gospel, you'll notice that, but they're there now. The fact that there's three, they don't get mentioned in Matthew's gospel, but there's three of them now. Rumour has it there may have been a fourth. So these things, and the gold and the frankincense and myrrh, are always symbolic of the royalty of Jesus as the Son of God, and the frankincense is the divinity of him, and the myrrh is the fact that he was going to suffer and die for all. Myrrh is the ointment that is put over a dead body in biblical times before its burial. So those three things of Jesus' earthly life, his humanity and his divinity, were all brought in and added to that fire that I talked about, which we call Midrash. Now, I tell you that because the Epiphany, or the revealing, the manifestation, it means different things to different people. And our task in 2019 is to work out what in this event is important and relevant and being revealed to me here and now. Now, it's not going to be the kings. It won't be, because kingship for us sitting here at Pierce in Australia doesn't really mean anything to most of us. It's just not part of our world. I mean, bless Queen Elizabeth, but it's just not really part of our world. So that royal line isn't going to carry a lot of weight. The gold and the frankincense of myrrh, well, we've translated that, I think, into giving of gifts. And that actually happens either just before Christmas in our tradition or at Christmas itself, but rarely just afterwards. But it is still the essence of giving. So when we give something and we are the receiver of something, there's a transaction that takes place. So you might just reflect at this time, how did you go with your giving over the Christmas period? Was it, oh, I better get something for her because it'll shut her up? Or was it really something that was coming from you to build the relationship with that individual? That's what we should be taking from the giving element of the Feast of the Epiphany, I believe. So don't get caught up with stars and wise men and astrologers and what's in the boxes. Don't get caught up with all of that stuff, because they, as I said, are elements that Matthew has put in there to direct us to the main character and the main event, which is Christ himself. And all of the literature that has been put around Christ's birth uses the language of light, and therefore the star is there. So at this time, we examine our lives and say, is Christ the light of my life? Does he bring me from darkness into light? These little things might just help you a bit. I have a friend whose son has... he's on the spectrum, as they say these days. And her terminology for the way that he lives his life is he walks around under a dark cloud. Sadly, he is prone to depression, this young man. And so he sees the world, the glass half empty. My friend often says, I feel for my son because he's chief dark cloud. And whereas we see possibility, he doesn't. And so on the Feast of the Epiphany, I get you to use the image of like the big storm clouds that rolled in fabulously yesterday afternoon. But behind that, which causes destruction, but behind that, there is sunshine. It is there. We just have to find it. We have to be patient. And that's the light that we're talking about. Behind the horrible things that happen in our life, there is sunshine. I mean, I've been with the Beans family preparing Louis's funeral, and there is joy at times. In the sadness of losing their husband and father, there is light coming through. That's faith. That's not they're laughing at Dad's death. That is actually their faith. When we say rest in peace, they know that that's actually happening. That's the light that we're talking about. That's the epiphany. It is the revealing of Christ. And the best way I can demonstrate that during the course of our life, I think, is actually through the saints. I remember a father taking his son into a church, not this one, and showing his son the stained glass windows that had all the saints in it. And then he'd say, that's Saint Bernadette, that's Saint Mary, that's Saint Teresa, there's Saint Joseph, that's Saint Francis, and tell them the life of the saint. The little kid then went off to school and said, look, I went into the church yesterday and I saw the saints. And another kid who'd never been in a church said, what's a saint? And the little boy replied, a saint is someone who the light shines through out of the mouths of babes. And that's a fantastic definition of the epiphany being lived out. Someone who the light shines through. And when darkness descends upon us, we need those people in our life. And they are there. You are those people. Sometimes you may not even know it. And the Feast of the Epiphany reminds us that we have a role to be the light of Christ in a sometimes very dark world. We are the people, like the saints, who make God reappear. That's what saints do. They reveal God again. And for most of you, you'll probably understand what I say when I say a saint is a sinner who keeps on trying. Now, I don't know who wrote that, but I really like it. And the early church, the people who sat where you sit now, they were referred to as saints. So I refer to you today as saints. And inside of you, that light burns. Don't ever do anything to snuff it out in yourself or in anybody else.